Now, before we get into some other applications of mnemonics, now keep in mind, up until this point, we really haven't done any applications at all. All we've really done is exercise the mind and get the mind to focus. We've got the mind to think a little bit clearer. We've got the mind to use its imagination to get out of the think stage, into the look search stage, into the create stage. We have established 50 pegs, 50 places where we can store information for later use. But we've also found out that our memories are very, very powerful, and that our memories are very, very good, and that we do, in fact, have photographic memories, but it only takes a short amount of time of releasing that for us to really use it. Now, I want to get involved for the next two lessons on an application that most people really get excited about, and that is remembering people's names. Every time I talk about this, I have to ask the question, how many people have walked into a room, met someone, shaken hands, gotten the name, and then as soon as a handshake breaks, the name just goes out the window, and the person forgets it. It's happened to all of us. It's very embarrassing. You know, we're talking with someone 5 minutes, and we have to say for the third time, I'm sorry, what's that name again? Oh, that's right, it's John. And it is embarrassing. However, the important thing for us to realize is once we learn and know that person, the name stays with us. Example, we go into a new job, the first day we meet four people in our department, we forget their names. By the end of the week, we have their names committed to memory. What we did is we took the new information, the name, we used repetition, repeat, 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 repeat. We were very, very interested in learning it. We didn't have a lot of information to learn, we only had four people, and at the end of a week, we had them committed to memory. We took the information into our short-term memory long enough so it could become knowledge. Well, when you walk into a room and meet 30 or 40 people, you don't have that luxury of repeating and repeating and repeating. That is not a good idea. So what we're going to learn how to do is take the information, the person's name, into the short-term memory with a very quick and easy, effective technique and keep it in our short-term memory long enough so it can become knowledge. Now, let me explain this again a little bit clearer, hopefully. We forget people's names in the first 2 minutes. Isn't that true? Sure it is. The fact is, what we really need to work on here is simply how to remember the name for the first 5 minutes that we meet them. That's really our only goal. Because if we can do that, then we can keep it in the short-term memory long enough so it'll become knowledge for later use. So as we're doing names, consider our only goal is just to figure out a way to get the name that we hear once, keep it in the short-term memory long enough so it'll become knowledge. That's all we want to do. Let's not worry about meeting this person 3 months from now. Let's just worry about meeting them today and remembering their name for the 5 or 10 minutes that we meet them. That's our most important goal, because if we can do that, the mind will take care of the rest and pop it into the knowledge bank so you can recall it later in the future, whether it be a week or a month or a year down the road. Now, there are 3 steps to remember anything. We talked about this before. Number one is a place to put the information. We call that a peg. Number two is the information turned into a picture and mental glue to hold the picture on the peg. Well, if those are the 3 things you need to remember anything, wouldn't it make sense that those are the same 3 things you need to remember a person's name? You're exactly right. The first thing is you need a place to store the information. It's called a peg. On a person, we call it a CPEG because it's something that you can see. Now, let me explain what a CPEG is. A CPEG is the first thing you notice about a person. That's it. The first thing you notice about a person. Could be a big red tie. Could be a flower that they're wearing. Could be a bow in their hair. Could be bright orange hair or red hair. Could be a real neat or crazy hairdo. Could be a big nose or big ears. Could be a piece of jewelry. Could be a big chin. Could be some braces that they're wearing. Could be real pretty eyes. Could be a piece of clothing. Maybe it's a big old sweatshirt that has crazy designs on it. Maybe it's a blouse or a scarf. Could be anything. It's the first thing that you notice about the person. And what we do is when we meet the person, we actually can pick out a CPEG before we actually meet them. You can look across the room, spot someone, and say, boy, that's a great big red blouse they're wearing. We call that person Miss Red Blouse. We can look across the room and see a gentleman, and he's wearing this big yellow polka dot tie. We can call him Mr. Yellow Tie. We can meet another gal, and she has this really pretty ponytail in her hair. We can call her Miss Ponytail. You look at another person, and he has probably one of the biggest noses you've ever seen in your life. You can call him Mr. Nose. You look at another person, they got big ears. Call them Mr. Ears. I've seen people who have a receding hairline that are bald. We can call that guy Chrome Dome. It's okay. We don't have to tell them this. Keep in mind, when we remember people, what we're doing is keeping it to ourselves. They don't know what we're doing. All we want to do is engage the memory by using the software that it needs so that it can recall. That's all we're doing. The act of doing this technique, which in the beginning we're going to do very slow, but as we do this, we'll become faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. Just the act of doing it engages the memory. And when you engage the memory, you remember and you recall. And people will be impressed. People will actually be amazed with the ability that you have to walk into a room, meet 40 or 50 people, and leave and say goodbye to everyone with their name. We've had so many students come up to us at the end of our seminars and say, Kevin, I can meet 50 or 60 or 75 people and remember their names. And when I do, when I leave the room and say goodbye to everybody I met with their name, they all remember me. That's exactly true. Because the most important thing you want to remember about a person is their name. Why? Because it's the sweetest sound in the language to that person. It commands attention every time it's used. But how many times have we met someone, maybe spend a half an hour with them, see them a week later, and remember where we met them, what type of job they have, what type of car they have, where they live, how many children they have. We know something about their wife. But what's the one thing we forget? Their name. Their name is the most important. So let's focus on how to remember the names. What I want to do now is I'd like you to go to the workbook at this point and look and follow the exercises until it says stop. Then come back to the tape. On that workbook, what you're going to do is do the exercises on picking out C-pegs. This is the simplest, easiest thing you can do because there's no such thing as right and wrong. It's just good, better, and best. And everyone may pick out different C-pegs, but for most people, you'll probably pick out the same ones. You can virtually pick out anything. It doesn't really matter as long as you can focus in on it and you choose the C-peg. Go to the workbook. Do the exercises until you see the little stop sign, then come back to the cassette. Okay, hope that was fun. It usually is. Picking out C-pegs is a very simple exercise to do. But what it really does is it focuses you to observe the person, which is the first thing you need to do in remembering anything, is observation. Now people think, well, Kevin, of course when I meet people, I always look at them. Oh, well, maybe you look at them, but maybe you really don't observe them. You see, we see, but we don't observe. The act of choosing a C-peg focuses your attention on that person, on their face, on themselves. And the act of focusing, again, engages the memory. It's vitally important that you observe and focus in on the people you're going to meet. And again, you usually pick C-pegs before you actually meet the person. So you're not staring them down, per se. That's not the point. The point is you really take a genuine concern and interest in the individual. Look at them. Give them eye contact. Really be interested in them. Notice the texture of their hair, their skin tone, their color. Notice their clothes they're wearing. Really observe the person. This act of doing and giving and being interested really pays off big dividends in people skills, communication skills, and the most important thing is, of course, in memory retention. So picking out a C-peg is generally very, very simple. The second thing we need to do is take their name and turn it into a picture. Because the second rule in the three rules that we have to remember anything is take the information you want to remember and turn it into a mental picture. Well, if you meet a person named Bill, the name is abstract. It's two-dimensional. We need to take that name and turn it into a picture. Using the same method that we turned abstracts into pictures in an earlier lesson. That simple rule was break the abstract down by syllable, take each syllable, and by the way that it sounds, not the way that it's written down, but rather the way that it sounds, come up with a sound-alike picture word. That's all. Very simple. If the word, of course, is one syllable, you take the whole word, and by the way it sounds, come up with a sound-alike picture word. Let me give you some ideas here. If you met a gentleman named Bill, that could give you a picture of maybe dollar bills or a duck's bill. If I asked you to give me a picture of Donald, Some of you may choose Donald Duck. If I said give you a picture of Mike, some of you may choose microphone. If I said give me a picture of John, you probably guessed it, a toilet. How about, here's a tough one, Sue. The woman's name, Sue. Well, if you use the way it sounds, Sue, 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 some of you may think of a Sioux Indian. Some of you may think of Sue, like you sue someone in court. But the key is, when we did abstracts, we always needed to come up with a picture. If you use sue, like suing someone in court, that's too abstract. You need to give a picture. Maybe you see a judge with the white wig and the black robe. Maybe you see a gavel or the scales of justice. If you pictured a Sioux Indian, that's a good picture. Some of you may think of Sioux as in Suey, and maybe picture a pig. Other people use a suit, a man's suit, for Sioux, because Sioux and suit sound similar. Now, this is the important point. Folks, it doesn't matter what picture you choose for the name, because especially with first names, you're going to meet more than one Mike. You're going to meet more than one Sue. You're going to meet more than one Mary and more than one John. Once you establish a picture, you then have established, in effect, a picture vocabulary for names, which means you have established, you've gotten rid of the names, and you have established constant pictures. You see, we took the numbers 1 through 20, and we replaced them with pictures. 7 is no longer 7, it's dice. 10 is no longer 10, it's bowling ball. 12 is no longer 12, it's eggs. We developed the picture vocabularies for the numbers 1 through 20. Same thing here. We're going to establish a picture vocabulary for first names. Now, what I'd like you to do is go to the workbook at this point, and we have listed down many, many, many common first names. And there's a space there for you to choose the picture that you want to use. We also give you many examples and ideas. Keep in mind this most important point. You don't have to use the pictures that we picked out. That's just to give you an idea, some suggestions, and what we found to work out very effectively. If you notice, our pictures are all simple pictures. They're all basic pictures. They are easily picturable. The other important point is you choose the one that's best for you. And once you establish the picture, that's the one you'll use all the time. So go to the workbook right now and spend a few moments and do the exercise by choosing for every name that we have down the picture that you want to use to represent that name. Do that now. Okay, now what we want you to do is I want you to develop and establish this picture vocabulary. And since every person listening to this tape has chosen a different picture for the first names, what I want you to do is simply this. I want you to cover up on your workbook page the pictures that you chose. Cover up those picture words. All you'll then see in the left are the first names. And I want you to review the name and see if you remember what picture you chose. If you don't remember, that's okay. You can look. I want you to take about 5 or 10 minutes and review those names, Bill, John, Mary, Jean. And when you see the name Jean, think of, oh, that's right, I picked blue jeans. When you see the name Bill, think, oh, that's right, I picked the duck's bill. When you see Mary, that's right, you say, oh, that's right, I pictured a merry-go-round. Or whatever you chose. I want you to have instant recall. If I was sitting next to you and called out a first name and said, what did you use for Tom? You should immediately say, whatever you chose. Now, I happen to use turkey. That's my picture for Tom. But you would use and be able to spit out instantly the picture that you chose. Now, I want you to spend some time doing that, covering up the pictures that you chose and seeing if you can recall by memory the pictures just by looking at the first names. And I want you to review this several times because some of them are very difficult. They really don't go together, but you're going to make them go together. Just by reviewing that 4 or 5 times on a tough one, you'll remember it. And that's important to have this picture vocabulary established. Do that now, then come back to the tape. Okay. What I want you to do now is the exact opposite. Cover up the first names, look at each individual picture that you've chosen, and figure out what first name that picture means. You should have instantaneous recall. If you see, for example, Turkey, you should know instantly it's Tom, if that's the particular picture you chose for Tom. If you're looking down and see a wedding cake, and you chose that for Mary, you should know that wedding cake instantly gives you Mary. It should work precisely and quickly as you can, back to the first name that you chose. You do that now, and then come back to the tape. Okay. At this point, you should have established a fantastic picture vocabulary for first names. This is exciting because once you have this vocabulary established, and folks, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, just like a vocabulary words for English or French or Spanish that you're learning a language. Once you start developing your vocabulary, it becomes easier. You don't have to think about the words and definitions. Here, the words, the definitions are the pictures. So once you establish them, the work's all done. Remembering names is really one of the easiest things you can do. We have students that walk into rooms, they meet 40, 50 people in a half an hour, remember all their first names. It's so easy because they've already established the picture vocabulary. You see, we're going to do something else with this in a few moments, and you'll see just how easy it really is to remember people's names. Let's go on to the next lesson, and we'll continue with names.
This is the end of Side 10. Side 9 is already queued up for your next listening.